I got my sneakers on. I'm ready. We're ready. Whatever you got for us, we're ready to go. I just want to share that Nancy and her husband, Roger, they have missions in Mexico. They are just awesome. And so we've sown into a lot of their ministry, and we have reaped bountifully through it. So anyway, come on, Nancy.
Good morning. You're probably all wondering why I said put sneakers on today. Well, you're all going to learn. You're all going to understand why in a little bit, okay? First of all, I want to thank Pastor Ron and Gary for giving me the opportunity to preach today from the pulpit. And it's always an honor and a privilege to do so. The Lord months ago impressed upon my heart to speak this message to you. They didn't know this. But as simple as this message is, as you will be familiar with many of the people in this message, I know you may know the stories about the people I'm going to talk about, of who I will speak today. As simple as it is, there are nuggets of truth and nuggets of encouragement that you're going to find through this message. And we have our sneakers on because today we're going to run a race. We're going to run a race with some of those people in Scripture who ran their race and finished it with victory. You know, it's been, I just was counting on my fingers, 21 months. 21 months we've been living in, you know what. And God has blessed us through it all. He has blessed us. He has not forsaken us. And he's not about to forsake us. And I just want to let you all know that today. We are living in a time of history. I have seen them put the first man on the moon. I have seen so many things. And my mother-in-law just turned 100 a couple weeks ago, and she says, I've never seen anything like this. And I said, Mom, hold on, because we're going to see more. But we're going to get through it, and we're going to get through it with victory. So if you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn it to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to begin at verse 1. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay, no problem. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Just a little clue about your sneakers. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that we set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, in snarls, you know what that means? That means to catch in a trap or a snare. To gain power, listen to this one, to gain power over someone by dishonest or underhanded means. Kind of sounds familiar, huh, in the days we're living. Sounds like the enemy. Amen? You can amen anytime. I don't care. Amen. We need to lay aside every weight and every sin, every thought that is not of God, which burdens us to the point of sin. The Message translation reads this way. I love this Message translation. Do you see what all this means? All these pioneers who paved the way? All these veterans cheering us on? It means we better get on with it. Start running and never quit. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we are in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that victorious finish in and with God. You know, he could put up with anything. Jesus could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside of God. When you find yourself lacking in your faith, feeling sorry for yourself, look to the Scriptures again and again. All the hostile situations Jesus went through and come out against all sin and negative thoughts in your life. You know, those negative thoughts in our life really can destroy us and can destroy our work with Jesus. Because others have suffered far worse than we have, to say nothing of what Jesus went through. Think of it. We suffer a little bit, but what about Jesus? All that bloodshed, all that mocking, all that beating. We should not feel sorry for ourselves. And if you look back to Hebrews 11, it is a great faith chapter. It tells us that Abel, offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In Genesis 24, by faith Enoch was taken, and he was not. The Bible says he was not. He didn't experience death. It tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. In verse 6, Noah, by faith, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Hebrews 11:8 tells us by faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go to a place. Now, listen to this. Years ago, the Lord told us to go to a place. Well, several times. I didn't want to go, but my husband said we're going, and we went. And we know it was God. So he was called to go to a place where he would receive his inheritance. He went not knowing where he was going. He didn't know. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. Hebrews 11:11, by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive, even though she was past the age of conceiving. And by faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up his son Isaac to God. You know what my favorite point about that whole thing is about Abram offering up his son Isaac is that Abram told his servants, the boy and I will be back. I love it. Don't you just love it? The boy and I will be back. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. In Hebrews chapter 11, 23 to 29, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his mother. I did a ladies' meeting one time, and I talked about Moses' mother. What an awesome story. What an awesome story that was. His mother hiding him. Can you imagine? How many in here have had babies? You know babies cry. You know babies want to be fed. You know babies want to be changed. So to hide a baby, think of it. Think of it. To hide that baby for 3 months, total miracle. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You all know the story. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And by faith, he passed through the Red Sea on dry land. As we look at these great people, who many of them were miraculously delivered, you agree? They were miraculously delivered. And many of them, through their death themselves, are great examples to us of their faith. All these great men and women of God who made a way for us to live, for us to live victoriously and be blessed when we follow their example. These scriptures in Hebrews picture to me great men and women of faith who are watching you and you and you and you, all of us, you. They're watching us running, ready to run our race. Isn't that amazing? Well, isn't it amazing? Yes. Yes. Amen. Are they, as they are watching us running this race, they are cheering us on. The Hebrews tells us that they're cheering us on. In other words, they're rooting for you and they're rooting for me. They're cheering for us because they're on our side. They've gone through what you and I are going through right now and what we have been through, but they're still cheering. They're cheering because they know we can make it. They know that we can win. There's no doubt in my mind that we can win. They've been delivered. They've been successful. And now they are watching us, and their focus is on you, and if their focus is on me. Their lives are witnesses to us having successfully overcome. Amen. Say that. Their lives to me, are a witness to having successfully overcome. Let's add this. Everything we go through, everything I've faced, every faith thing in my life. So today, I'm going to lay aside everything that would hinder my race. So let's suppose their focus is on you and me today, running this race, this incredible race. But it has to be an incredible race successfully. They all made it. They finished their course. But what if they could say something of encouragement to us? Want to hear what they have to say today?
Yes.
As you go to any sporting game, when you hear all the hollering and all the shouting, you necessarily don't know exactly what they're saying because there's people all over, everywhere, and they're hollering something here, and they're hollering something here, and they're hollering something there. But you don't know exactly what they're cheering. You don't always know what they're saying. We have to listen carefully to the voices we hear because they might not all be cheering us on. And in the day we're living in, there might be voices that are not cheering us on. Excuse me. One voice can be very quiet in a crowd of many. Amen. So you know that they are on your side, but you don't necessarily know what they are saying. That's why you have to focus. You must focus. You must be still. You must be quiet. And be sure the voice you are hearing is the voice that you want to hear, the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the best voice that you want to hear, the best voice that will comfort you, is the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I have an idea today. What would happen if these individuals, these great men and women of faith, could run around a track with us? Yeah? Oh. One time, if they could run around a track, what would happen if they could run and they would only say things of encouragement to us? You know they would only say things of encouragement to us. Looking at some of the people in the Bible, I began to ask myself, if I could think about something about this, what about their life? What would they tell us? In one sentence, in one statement, what would they tell us? Anybody have an idea?
You can do it.
Well, maybe.
Look up.
Maybe.
Jesus did it.
Keep going.
Maybe I did. But when they run that race, what would they say? What would they say to you? What would they say to you? But so I would like to bring several people. So I would like to bring several biblical people to run one lap with us today, with you and me. I would like to hear what they would say to us as a word of encouragement, because if we are not in the race, we need to start today. How many want to start today?
Woo!
Woo. Think about a race like this. We are going to run to win. We do not give up, we do not give in, and we do not quit.
Amen.
All of us can agree we want and desire to be used of God. Can't we all agree that?
Amen.
Many of us really want to make a difference. We want it to be our time, our moment. And you may say to me today, how can I do that? How can I make that difference for God? How can I make my mark on my family, my community, in this world? We want to be great people for God and great leaders. And you might say, well, I don't consider myself a leader. Yeah, everybody's a leader. Mm-hmm. If you have a home, if you have a family, you are a leader. If you have a dog, you have a leader. You lead that dog. Today I'm going to talk to you about a few people in Scripture. Are you ready to run with some of the best?
Yes.
You ready to run?
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at this. If Rebecca could step out and run with us just one lap and you and me this day, here's what she would say to us. She would say to you and to me, serve others with a generous spirit. Rebecca's message to you and to me would be one of servanthood. But more than just servanthood, more than just serving one another and caring for one another, Rebecca's message to us would be, do it with a generous heart. A generous heart. Not only serve others, but serve others abundantly. Not only others, but go the second mile. Be extravagant in adding value to others. That's what she would do. That's what she would say. And you know the story. It's in Genesis chapter 24. This week, read the chapter. It's awesome. Abram, one of the richest men in his day, wanted to make sure his son Isaac, married well. He wanted him to marry the right girl. He really wanted her to be found in his homelands. He took his most trusted servant and said, I'm going to send you the most important mission I've ever sent you on. I want you to go back to my homeland and I want you to find a bride for my son Isaac. His homeland was Haran, present-day Syria. Now this servant of Abraham, Eleazar was his name. He was his oldest servant, his most trusted servant. He handled all he had, all his riches, Eleazar handled. He had spent his entire life serving. And he left Abraham's house that day to go back to his homeland. He understood that out of all the missions he was ever sent on, this was the most important. It was the most important mission of all because he had to get the right person for Abraham's son, Isaac. Of all the requests that have ever been asked of him, he knew he had pressure upon him because he had to find her. You can understand that feeling? Can you understand it today?
Yes.
You know you have to do something. You are not sure of it, and you are uncertain, and all of a sudden all the pressure comes on you, and you feel a lot of pressure because you want to do the right thing. You want to do it right. You want to be honorable. During the journey, Eleazar began to pray to God, and he may have said to God, "You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me because I've never, ever been to this area before." Can you relate to that prayer today? Can you relate to that? I don't know the people. I don't know them. I've not been there. Who should the bride of Isaac be? How am I going to figure it out? Sound like something you would say? God told you to do something. You just say, "God, help me. How am I going to do this? How am I going to figure it out?" That's not going to be an easy task for him, is it? There will be a lot of women in this area. So he's thinking, what can I do? How can I know? And in the process of him going to the homeland to pray about the choice, he realized there was a huge job for him to do. So he decided to pray along the way, a prayer that probably sounded like this. "When I get to this town, may the woman who is to be the bride of Isaac, may she offer me a drink of water." You know the story. You all heard it many times. But that's not a huge prayer. Because the custom of that day, whenever a stranger came into an area, the hospitality thing to do was to offer them a drink, offer them some water. So many times, they would even want to offer to wash their feet. So really, when he said, "May she offer me some water to drink," that was not a huge prayer.
No.
And Abram's servant, he kind of knew it wasn't. Don't we do things like that sometimes? We pray this prayer, and, "Well, God, that's really not what I really meant, but I was afraid to ask you what I really meant because, you know, I know, God, you are supreme, and I just don't know if that's the way I should have asked it." He knew he cheated a little on that prayer. So he decided to pray like some of us do. In a challenging situation, we say, "Oh, God, show me a sign." Amen? And then he said, "God, may she not only offer me some water to drink, but may she offer my camels water to drink also." So when he asked God that request, that was huge. Because you know we had 10 camels. Now let me give you a little history here. A camel at the end of a day's journey will drink about 80 liters of water. That's 21.13 gallons of water. However, typically they can drink up to 200 liters, which is 53 gallons. So now he is not asking some stranger to give him something to drink. He's saying, "God, if you don't mind, would she look at my 10 camels and say, could I give your camels water to drink also? May she not only give me water, but may she go to the well and draw 800 liters of water, 211 and 3/4 gallons.
Oh, man.
Believe me, I figured this all out many times this week. I knew I had to be right.
Yeah.
He arrived at the homeland, and Rebecca comes to him. "Could I give you water to drink? Could I give you water to drink?" So far, so good. She looked at his camels and says, "Sir, could I also draw water for your camels?" Oh, what does this mean for her? Picture this. Let's say there was no line at the well. No one waiting to draw water. Rebecca had her bucket, and she had to go back and forth to the well. Back and forth with her 20-liter Oh, I'm sorry there. With her 20-liter bucket, back and forth she had to draw 800 liters of water. That means she had to go back and forth 40 times. She had to go to the well, drop the rope, bring up the bucket, and had to walk over to the watering trough for the camels and drop it in. 40 trips from the well to the watering trough. The Bible says that while she was doing this, the servant of Abraham said nothing. He just watched her. Let's say it took her 5 minutes. I figured maybe it took her more. But only 5 minutes to get the water and put it in the trough and back to the well. So for almost 3.5 hours, Rebecca, with a generous spirit, served the stranger. 3.5 hours serving the stranger. At least the servant of Abraham could have encouraged her. He might have said to her, if you keep this up, you're going to marry really well. My boss has a lot of money. At least the servant of Abraham could have done that. He might have said to her, if you keep doing this, you're going to marry really well. I want you to hear this. What makes this story so powerful is while Rebecca is serving the stranger, she has absolutely no idea the reward that's coming to her. She has no idea that he has jewels in his sack for her. She has no idea she's going to marry into a wealthy family. She has no idea of all the things that are going to happen to her. She is just loving, caring, reaching, serving, adding value to others. Can we learn from this?
Amen.
She has no idea she's going to become the great, 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 great grandmother of the Messiah. She's just serving. She's just caring. She's just loving. She's just helping, reaching, and adding value. She thinks that when she's done, she's going to go back home. In the days we live in, many of us think that before we do something, we want to know what we're going to get. In a society that says, I don't want to do blank, you fill in the blank. I'll give you a minute. In a society that says, I don't want to do blank, you fill in the blank. I want to tell you, I'm glad Moses didn't say, I don't cross rivers. I'm glad Noah didn't say, I don't want to build. I'm glad David didn't say, I don't want to fight a giant. Aren't you glad John the Baptist didn't say, I don't do baptisms? And Mary, when the angel came, aren't you glad she didn't say, I don't do virgin births? Aren't you glad Paul didn't say, I don't want to write letters? And I'm glad Peter didn't say, I don't want the Gentiles to hear the word of God. And aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, I don't want to go to the cross? Rebecca, as she ran that lap with you and me, would say, serve others with a generous spirit. If you have a pencil, you need to write that one down. Serve others with a generous spirit. How about Esther? If Esther could step out of the crowd, she would say to you and me, God has a place for you. You see, Esther would really want to get this message through that God has a place for all of us. Because Esther, her entire life, felt out of place. You study her life, she grew up in a different country than her ancestors. As a very young child, she lost her parents. As a young girl, she possibly walked through life wondering where her place was. But one day, everybody say, one day.
One day.
One day she was chosen. Chosen to go to the palace and maybe be the queen. Talk about feeling out of place. She didn't grow up in royalty. She wasn't around royalty. She didn't grow up in wealth. She was just an average girl, but not in God's eyes. Now she's in the palace with the king and with servants. It unfolds. The evil plot to exterminate the Jewish people and Uncle Mordecai telling her she had to do something. I love this story. You are queen and you have to talk to the king. And she didn't want to do that. She knew what could happen to her, what the consequences might be. She could be killed. And a message came to Esther from her Uncle Mordecai. Listen to me. Who knows? Get this. Who knows that you have come into this kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows? Who knows if you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows if you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? This message changed Esther's life forever. That day she realized that her life was not an accident. All the twists and all the turns, all the confusion, and everything that happened in her life, the hand of God was on her. The hand of God is on all of us. Get this today. The hand of God is on all of us, orchestrating every step of our life, just as it was Esther's life. It brought her to the palace where she could be, on behalf of the Jewish people, walk into the king's presence and make a request to intercede for her people. A brave, bold queen, confident. That's what we need to do. Be brave. We need to be bold. We need to be confident. But I do believe a little scary. It's okay, because I'm scary sometimes. I feel scary sometimes. Not that I'm scary, but I feel scary sometimes. All of a sudden, her delay, her uncertainty, and fearfulness was changed into a heart to make a difference. She was so determined, after she found her place in God's kingdom, that she not only asked the people to pray and to fast for her, for favor, but she just wanted them to know she would go to the king and said, if I perish, I perish. But if I die, I was doing the will of God for my life. Think about that. If we do what God tells us to do, and we die, we know that we were doing the will of God for our life. Amen? Amen. Some of you today, your life has twists and it has turns. You're thinking, what does it mean? How will all this turn out? How will this world turn out? How will this country turn out? How will my family turn out? How will the situation in my life turn out? I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to do. Am I wasting my time? I want you to know today that God looks at every one of you and has a distinct plan and purpose for your life. Who knows if you are here for such a time as this? Oh my God, who knows if we are here for such a time as this? God wants us to be brave, to be bold, to be courageous. Oh my gosh, what if we are here for just that? He has put his handprint on our soul. All you have to do is keep walking in obedience. You may not always understand the walk. You may not always understand it, but just keep walking. And like Esther, there will be a time. There will be a moment. There will be a place where all of a sudden, everything's going to come together. And you will realize that a sovereign God has had his hand on your life. Look for your suddenlies. Sometimes we go through a lot of situation in our life and not all of it's good. But if we keep encouraged, sometimes we just need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. If we keep ourselves encouraged, if we keep looking to God, and we keep praying, and if we keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, people, we all have had his attention, and we are on the front of his mind. He is going to use you in the lives of others. Trust me in this. God has a plan for you. He has a place for you. Yes, he does. But it's about his timing and not yours. Don't run ahead of God just because you might get a word from somebody or you might have to get something in your mind that you think you have to do or you think you heard from God. Be sure you heard from God. Be sure the Holy Spirit spoke to you. Slow down. Don't run ahead of God. Slow down and let him direct you. How about David? If David could step out of the crowd and run one lap with us, you know what he would say? He'd say, I had a long life, and there's a lot biblically written about me. But if he could run one lap with you, he can only say one word of encouragement to us. I know he would say, you can overcome the limitations that others have placed on you. And I know there may be people in here where they came from a family where there were limitations placed on them. But that's gone. He grew up with limitations continually. placed on him. One day the prophet Samuel went to Jesse's house. You all know this story too. You know all these stories, but maybe you never saw them like this before. So Samuel went to Jesse's house to tell him one of his sons was going to be the next king of Israel. Samuel paraded all the boys before him except David. He was out working the sheep, a humble job. You know, none of the brothers were the one that God wanted. They may have been the one someone else wanted, but not God. God's very specific as to who he calls and who he wants. And he called all of us. We're all children of the Almighty King. Samuel said to Jesse, "Do you have other boys?" Jesse thought, and at this point there was one boy he thought never had king potential. Nobody in the family thought that David was king potential. So they ran and got David, and you know the story. Saul anointed him to be king of Israel. How would you have liked to have been David? Knowing that no one in your family thought you were king material. That's why David would say you can overcome the limitations of this place on you. But it doesn't end there. What about the battle? The battle going on, the Philistines and the Israelites and Goliath. His brother said, "Go back, go home. Go home, what are you? You don't belong here." But David, you know it, he wanted to take on Goliath. He wanted to stand up to Goliath even though the people did not believe he could do it. Does the devil tell you to retreat when you face a Goliath in your life? How many times have you faced a problem in your life and you retreated instead of trusting God and moving forward? Maybe God told you to something to do maybe years ago. And instead of following that path, you retreated. I know about that. They looked down on David. All the people overlooked his potential. Yet he grew up to be the greatest leader in Israel. Amen? Amen. 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 It is possible that all your life people look past you. Perhaps you have wondered if you could make a difference for God. You say, "I've never had a chance. I'm not even sure anybody knows I exist." God does. You know, years ago, I just thought about this. Years ago, when I started to preach the Word of God, over 30 years ago, I used to say, "God, but I want to preach to women. I want to minister to women. I would like to do this. But who even knows I exist?"
We do.
But then what? God took me to Mexico and I preached the Word of God all over Mexico. We had crusades. We had women's ministry. And God knew I existed.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And God knows you exist. He knows the desires of your heart. Some you don't even have to say a word. He put them there.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So listen to me. David would tell you, if God is for you, who can be against you? Are you being encouraged today? Amen. I am. You know what happened? Yesterday morning or the morning before, I was reading this message. I was sitting in the living room. I got so happy. Man, my day was great. I just knew that I knew that I knew that I exist for a purpose. You know, even pastors have to know that they exist for a purpose. Even pastors need to be encouraged. You know, sometimes you look at people standing in the pulpit and you think, "Oh, they got it all." No, we don't. We don't. We need God. And we need Jesus to encourage us at times, and the Holy Spirit. We all need encouragement. And David would tell you, no matter what the impossibilities may look like in your life, the fear, the feelings that you can't overcome limitations, he would tell you you can overcome all things through Christ. Okay, how about the boy who had the few loaves and fish? He wants to do a lot with you. He would say, "You can trust Jesus with your lunch." Yeah, you can. Yeah. Yeah, you can. You know the story and you know it well. Nobody had any food, but the boy planned ahead.
Wow.
Amen? There are two reasons why the boy might not have wanted to give up his lunch. Number one, it's hard to care for others when you're comfortable yourself. The boy didn't need a miracle. He had his lunch. The only kid in the crowd who didn't need a miracle from God was the only person who could be a channel for God to do a miracle through everybody else. You need to hear that again?
It's hard to care for others.
When you are completely comfortable yourself. The boy didn't need a miracle. He had his lunch. The only kid in the crowd who didn't need a miracle from God. The only person who could be a channel for God to do a miracle through for everybody else. And number two, the request didn't make any sense. To feed 5,000 people was a request that seemed impossible. How many miracles have you missed because God asked you to do something that didn't make sense? How many times have you held on to the security of your lunch because you couldn't figure out what God was doing? Do you want to make a difference? I can see many others who would want to run with us today. What about Joshua? Love Joshua. He would say to us, "Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you." Anything is possible with God leading the way. Isn't that like just like Joshua? Sarah, Abraham's wife, would run with you ladies and say, "Don't let your husband turn you away from God. Always tell the truth." Ananias and Sapphira would say, "Give God what is his. Do not tempt the Lord your God." Jonah, what about Jonah? He would run with you and tell you his experience in the belly of a big fish. He would say, "When God speaks to you, obey him immediately." Job would say, as you were running the lap, "Trust God to be your deliverer and healer. No matter what the circumstances, stand firm and see the hand of God work on your life to restore you." David. No matter what the circumstances are, stand firm and see the salvation of your God, your deliverer, your healer. Balaam's donkey. Oh, yeah, we're going to run with the donkey, too. He would trot behind us and say, "Speak up when things are not going in God's direction. Don't be afraid. Even though you may get beaten up, there's always an angel near you."
Wow, that's good.
Amen? Amen. Speak up. Balaam's donkey would trot beside him and speak up when things are not going in your direction. Now, there's a lot of things not going in our direction now.
Yeah.
Speak up. Even though we might get beaten up, there's always an angel near us. Remember, we all have angels.
That's right.
Mine's right here, right alongside of me. John would run with you and say, "Believe and act upon the visions that God shows you. He is showing you them for a purpose. No matter how unbelievable they are to others, you believe and have faith in God." Peter would say, "Even though you once denied Jesus, he is all forgiving, all gracious, and he's a God who loves you. When you feel like you're in prison, know that he is with you. He is watching over you. He will keep you in all your ways when your mind is focused on him. He is your deliverer. And even though Peter ran with a thorn in his side in the flesh, it is a reminder to me of who my God is and how great his power is in my life." Amen. So this little affliction, Peter would say, this weakness is nothing compared to what he has delivered me from and where he is taking me. Open your mouth. You are here to tell the story of the good news of Jesus Christ and to help others to know him. Amen?
Amen.
All the suffering, he would say, all the suffering that I went through, the shipwreck, I was jailed, I was stoned, I was beaten, I was cursed, all because of my witness for Jesus. But it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Doesn't that just really just get into your heart today? It's worth it all. How would Rebecca, Esther, David, and the boy with the fish tell you to make a difference in your world? Rebecca would say, make a difference through serving others. Esther would say, make a difference being patient and allowing God's will to unfold. David would say, make a difference by having the favor of God on your life more than the favor of others. That's so important. That's so important. Sometimes we get tripped up. We get trapped, really, in our thinking, because we think that we need everybody's favor. We need favor, but we need the favor of God more than we need the favor of others. The boy would say, make a difference by trusting Jesus with everything you've got, everything. Jesus would say, be filled with my spirit, and then you will have the same power that raised me from the dead. Go lay hands on the sick, be my hands and feet, and be bold with your mouth for me. So today we can learn from those who have gone before, and we can be assured that God is always with us. We hear that, we read, God is always with us. He's with us when we're at home. He's with us when we're in a car. He's with us at church. He's with us when we eat supper. He's with us when we go to bed. He's with us when we get awake. He's always, say always, always with us. We hear that and we read it, but we don't always act like it, do we? We don't always act like it. He is always ready to deliver us. He's always ready to show us the way by the power of his Holy Spirit. The challenge might be for you and I to pray, to stay in his word, possibly not listening to all this fake. Oh, I almost said something bad. All this fake stuff. Stuff that's going on, yeah. And turn off some of that fake stuff and trust God and pray for him to see us through everything that's going on right now. Trust him fully, relying on the Holy Spirit to see us through all of life's challenges, every area of our life. So if you say, I want to run this race God has set before me. How many of you would say that today? I want to run this race God has set before me. But I've been looking to the wrong things, the wrong people for direction. We do that, you know. We look to the wrong things and the wrong people. I don't think God could use me. Maybe that's you. You could say, I don't think God could use me. I need courage. I'm weak in my faith. Sometimes I don't read the word as much as I should. And God knows it all. He still loves us. He still has a plan for us. Maybe you say, I need to change my thinking. Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one. Because a lot of the attacks we face aren't really from a lot out there. It's right here. Right here. Right between our ears. I need to change my words. I believe I can do all things because Christ is in me and strengthens me. Amen. Say that. I believe I can do all things because Christ is in me and strengthens me. So why do we wear our sneakers today? Because we're running a race. Maybe your feet weren't moving, but I know your heart was. I know your heart was moving. I know you were receiving. You know how I know that too? Because I was really struggling with my voice today. And I can talk a lot. So today, listen to very carefully. I want us to make a declaration. A declaration is an announcement, a formal announcement of the beginning of a state or a condition. I would like you to make this declaration. If you don't feel comfortable making this declaration, that's fine. If you do, then this is what we're going to do. If you see yourself in any of the biblical characters, which I'm going to bring forth before you, when I go through what they would say to you, I want you to stand I want you to stand. And I want you to run in place. That's why you have your tennis shoes on. Can't run. Sorry about that out there. And at home, if you're listening to me and you want to make a declaration today, what I want you to do is I want you to stand and I want you to run in place. Why are we going to do this? But first of all, I don't want you to get wild. We're not getting wild in here. You can run in place. You can come back and forth, whatever you want to do. Just don't get wild. We do this before the Lord respectfully. We show the Lord we are willing to overcome and be used in that particular area. So y'all ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now remember, if one of these, or maybe all of them, you want to run in place, making your declaration before the Lord, let's go. Now, at a race, they always either blow a whistle or shoot a gun. Well, I don't have a gun on me. I was going to bring my pistol today, but I thought, no, better not.
That's okay.
It wasn't loaded. You all would have really had a fit if I'd have pulled it out here, right? Oh, and it also has a laser on it, so I could have. Okay. Ready? Get set. David, I am overcoming limitations on my life.
Oh, yeah.
Stand up.
Woo.
The boy with the lunch. I am going to trust Jesus with everything I have.
Yes. Yes.
Joshua wants you to fear not. And know that anything is possible with God.
Yes.
Yes.
Go, go, go.
Yes. Ananias and Sapphira, I am going to give God what is his. Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Jonah, when God speaks to me, I will obey him. I can tell you just haven't been doing this for a long time. Job, I will trust God to be my deliverer and healer, and I will stand firm.
Yes.
Yes. Balaam's donkey. I will speak up when things are not going in God's direction. Yes, yes, yes. John, I will believe and act upon the vision God shows me, even if they are unbelievable. Peter, when you feel like the walls are coming down and you have faith.
That's right.
I need faith for my voice right now. Rebecca, I will make a difference by serving others. Esther, I will be patient and allow God's will to unfold. Well, where are you?
We're running the race.
David, I will not look for the favor of others, only the favor of God.
Yes.
Do you remember with the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil?
Yes.
Mary, yeah. She gave everything that she had. And just like Mary, I will give God everything that I have. Amen.
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 Amen. Please remain standing. Now, today as I close this message, Jesus would tell us to be filled with his spirit because he wants to have the same power that raised him from the dead. He wants you all to be bold and to open your mouth for him. I know in the times we're living, sometimes being bold and opening your mouth from him might land out with dire consequences, especially I'm finding it a lot with our families. We have an opinion, they have an opinion, but let's try to walk in love and let's try to keep peace in our households and in our families. God has given us our family, and whatever decision that they they feel it's the right decision. Whatever decision we make, we feel it's the right decision. So let's try to walk in peace. Let's try to walk in hope. And let's know that God is working behind the scenes in our country to do marvelous, miraculous things. So Jesus would tell us to be filled with his Spirit because he wants us to have that same power that raised him from the dead. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to be courageous. He does not want us to be fearful. And that's what, I'm sorry, but that's what the government wants us to do. They are causing fear. They're causing havoc. And there's so many people still walking in fear, although we have to pray that they get awake. Cast out that fear and know that this is a trick from the enemy. So today, as I close this message, you know I always bring a song. And I love this song. So as we're gonna sing this. It's called Running the Race. Amen.
Amen.
Are you encouraged today?
Yes.
I pray that you're encouraged. I pray that this message would have brought out characters that you knew, but that Lord, that it just reiterated something within your spirit.
Running the beautiful race, running the beautiful race.
Hallelujah. What fun running the beautiful race. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now I want to do one thing. Devil, I put you on notice right now that you are not, absolutely not, taking over my voice right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that what you tried to do through my voice today did not succeed. I thank you, Father God, that you are in control. And Father, as we go forth from this place, Father, we go forth with your Spirit upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, amen. Now, Barry, come here. Now, I got to tell you this story. Because as we run a race and we go out there, sometimes we get lost. So the Holy Spirit laid it on my heart to get compasses. Now, I went on Amazon, same direction. So, but here's your little compass. And know that this compass, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, will always guide you in the right direction. You will not stray from the path that God has put you on. So you need to remember that when you think that you're going south, you know what that means. Not on the correct path. Just take your little compass and get back on to the right track. So everybody has your little compass. You know that God is for you. He is not against you. Run your race with the same tenacity as Jesus ran his race. Amen.